Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I am super excited to sit down with a friend of mine that I've loved a long time. She really is a hero in the faith for many reasons, and she is serving in East Asia. We're not able to share her name or the specific country where she is, but I wanted her to come on and share what it's been like the past few years. She leads a school, but not only leads a school, has served many different roles. She's been super committed to the kingdom work and has just stayed put and kept her calling. And I want you to hear that and what it was like, just the struggle over the past 3 years of her not being able to see her family in person. Virtually, yay for virtually, but not in person. And just this unique calling that God put on her life. And she was faithful to the call. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. And I just want to express that I am one of many heroes, if that word hero can even apply.
Oh, it does. You've been through so much. And so we just want to hear today, knowing how, even though listening, we don't know your name, but we know you're in the kingdom doing great work, and we can still pray. All right. So where do we begin? How about you tell us, let's start recent and then maybe we move backwards.
Sure.
Like since COVID, there's been a really hard struggle because you were not able to leave the country where you've been, right? So I know, talk to us some of what you experienced in your school and what it's been like, and now what it's like to be back for the first time to see your family in such a long time.
Thank you. Yes. I guess I physically would have been able to leave. It would have been a lot of hoops to jump through, but I would not have been able to return. And running the school required for me to be in country. So, yeah, we had very tight restrictions regarding the protocol for COVID, regular testings and scannings. And so not only were we struggling with the inability to go back to our home country, we also struggled with restraints in the country we were in. So it did make it very difficult, kind of lonesome, a kind of high stress, but we never get too much or more than we can handle. So we knew that Dad was with us, and I say we because there's a group of us that had to stay in country and did not go home for 3 years.
Mm. It was more than I could have handled. As I think about you, yeah, in this country, far from your family, and you're used to coming home quite a bit. And so what do you think God showed you? Like, what did you learn out of this experience?
I think it's fair to say that I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I saw some, I guess, a side of myself that I thought was crucified, like getting frustrated more easily than normal. But I also learned that Dad never leaves us. He's always there with us. I learned that we are stronger than we realize. I also, and this may sound strange, I think I formed a deeper relationship with the people that I was separated from, because we were very intentional in talking. Like my five siblings, well, there are five of us. We started a Zoom call every 2 weeks. And we did this because we were not able to see each other. But I doubt very much if we were able to travel and see each other that the conversation would have gotten as deep as it was on those Zoom calls. So we talked about a lot of things, good things, bad things. We pulled in my mother's sister to the Zoom every so often. And so that was, I think, very important for all of us. And our relationship was deepened through that.
I love that. Yeah. Mm. Just during that intentional time.
Yes.
So crisis, things we go through, really does shift our thinking. And you were just more intentional during that time, I think. Yeah. So I know so many people, no matter where you were with COVID, we had to learn to do things different. All of them weren't super bad.
Right. Yeah, because we were thinking, well, with the COVID deaths, I mean, they were in the U.S., they were high for a while. So we were thinking, what if something happened and we didn't have that time to communicate? We were distant, and so all my siblings are in different places in the U.S. So we were intentional in having those conversations because so many people were losing so many family members.
Yeah. What was the greatest struggle on the ground that you saw among the national people?
I think the unknown. I think it's at different levels. For the young people who felt invincible and then all of a sudden having restrictions, not being able to go places and facing the unknown, at first they were angry and kind of cynical. And then they transitioned into this period of, I guess, their eyes opening. And for most of them, it was the first time they've ever experienced anything like this. So I think they became more understanding of it and not so angry. And then there was also an element of fear I saw in them. Mm. I think for the adults, the protocol and the restrictions were an inconvenience, but also they felt very protected by the regulations. And because there was a real fear that my parents might catch it and die, I might catch it and die. So we need to isolate ourselves and do everything to protect ourselves. And I think in the very end of the 3 years, we saw just anger from the way that the protocols and the pandemic itself impacted their lives.
And what maybe new ways, fresh ways, were you able to connect with some of the students and speak into their lives?
That's a great question. We were intentional in having some counseling sessions with the students, both small group and individual. We have two formerly trained mental health counselors that were available. And so they did different therapies, like even with the group, like our seniors weren't able to go on a senior trip that they do every year. And they have a service trip and they weren't able to do that. And a lot of what they expected didn't happen. And so they were kind of struggling emotionally. And so we were able to have group sessions with them, or our professionals were. And I think that deepened the relationship. It equipped the students for what they might face in the future. And that was very helpful. We've had some parents also come in and do some sessions. So we were able to touch them in areas that we normally wouldn't engage them in, and that's their mental and emotional health.
Yeah. And so how have you seen the school shift pre-COVID, during COVID, and now? Were there times where you thought there's no way the school is going to remain open, that you've questioned what was happening? Tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, our school did have to close for a while, and then it shifted into a virtual learning where our teachers who are out of the country actually taught on the time frame of Asia. So they would be in the U.S. in the middle of the night, live streaming their classes to our students. And I think what we realized through this process of remote teaching and also going virtually, that we are prepared that if students have to be away or something happens, remote teaching is not the end of the world. And we've actually now acquired the equipment and the expertise and the training and how to do it and actually do it well. We experience no drop in our standardized scores with the time of online learning that we had to implement, and also the number of days that the school was actually closed with no online learning. And so we've learned that technology has a place, and we're going to be ready for what the future may bring. We have some students who have had to be remote because of illness, and we are able to bring them into the classroom virtually. So I think we're a much stronger school. Anytime you go through a difficult time, it brings a bond, or makes the bond that's there much deeper. And so I think as a team, we've gone through something traumatic. We've overcome, and I think we feel stronger as a unit because of it. Mm.
That's so good. So what was it like when you found out you could come home, hug your family?
Yeah.
It was no longer just a Zoom call.
It was, I didn't want to get my hopes up, right? And so I was excited, but I restrained myself, and I wasn't going to actually celebrate until I was on the plane. And I ended up with a delay of 2 weeks for a few things, COVID-related. And then I was finally able to get on the plane. And I kept thinking, oh, at this, because it was several legs, you know, at this layover, is something going to happen? Is someone going to tell me you can't continue? But that didn't happen. I was able to arrive, and it just felt, it felt amazing. I had a grandchild born while I was gone. And so to see that person and to, in person, to see that sweet girl in person was just amazing. I really want to say that one thing that I noticed when I came back, because the U.S. had passed on from the COVID issue much more earlier than other parts of the world, they really didn't want to talk about it. You know, they had moved on, and they were open to, they had the freedom to move. They weren't still wearing masks. And so I wanted to talk to people about it, but I think in the general day-to-day, they didn't want to be reminded of the COVID days. And so I think that was a little different than what I expected, but we certainly caught up on other things like what the grandchildren are doing, how my children are doing, the things based here. Mm. Yeah.
Well, a couple reasons that I say you're my hero that I want you to talk about. One is you stayed because you knew you probably wouldn't get back in, right? So you didn't want a chance. So you were willing to stay from your family, stay in the really hard time, stay in a lot of just crazy stuff, the unknown. You stayed.
Yes.
Why? What compelled you?
Well, I believe I have a calling to do what I'm doing. And in education, what you do, you invest in the lives of young people. I'm not making some circuit or doing something that is a work interacting with something that is non-living. I'm working with young people. And I felt compelled to stick with what I was called to do, because we should not give up on our mission just because things get difficult. And these students don't have a year or two out of their life just to go on hold during COVID. And it was very important for me to maintain the leadership. We have staff that are part of, who are nationals, staff that have come from abroad. And I had a moral and ethical responsibility mm-hmm. to serve them and to continue. And I think it was really no question about not being there, especially if I knew by leaving that maybe the school would not continue. And so I didn't want that to happen. Mm.
And so during that time, when some did leave, I know you took on a lot of different roles, but I think you probably took on a lot of roles even before that. Like, you're the type of person that gets in and does whatever is needed. And sometimes overseas schools are hard to staff people that you need, right? So talk a little bit about that. I mean, that's a number two reason why I call you my heroes, because you don't quit. You don't give up. You're willing to work tirelessly, even health issues you've had, and just you don't give up. Why?
I must admit I am somewhat of a workaholic, and being there as a single individual, I tend to throw myself into the work. But also another part of it is that I didn't want to just put a warm body in the classroom. I felt our students deserve to have a qualified teacher. Are there better teachers than me at the school? Yes. But I feel that I am qualified to teach the elementary. I know I am. And so I felt I needed to take that position to serve our students. The students deserve it. The parents deserve it. And it's, yeah, it was a necessary thing to do. I do think work-life balance is very important. That's something that I'm trying to work on. And I have put safeguards in place to help me with that. But I just felt at the time for that season, this is what I needed to do. And so God gave me the strength. He gave me the insight, the ability, and actually the experience has made me a better leader because it's brought me more in tune to the teachers that I serve and what they go through on a day-to-day basis. I taught school, but it was years ago. And sometimes when you're out of the classroom for a while, you get out of touch with what the teachers are doing on a day-to-day basis. And then I got to interact up and close with the kids, which is such a joy to do. They're so validating. They're so forgiving. They're so eager to learn. And those are all positive qualities that kept me going.
Hmm. When you look back on it, is there one day that just stands out, or maybe a time period? It was the hardest. You didn't know how or if you were going to get through, but you saw your dad make a way, like a way maker.
Yes. There was actually a day when we had to close the school, and it was first thing in the morning. There were some COVID cases nearby. And so we called all the students down to the courtyard and all the teachers, and we kind of had to do it all at once. I generally like to tell my team what we're doing before we communicate it to the students, but it was first thing in the morning at drop-off, and I had a bullhorn, and I was just communicating to them that we need to cancel school, tell them what they needed to pack, because we wouldn't be coming back for a while. We will start online learning. And just, it was very hard for me to face the students, the staff, and tell them all at once. And then we had a phone chain to communicate with the parents, and as well as a text chain to come back and get their kids. So I knew it was upsetting and disappointing for the students. There were some special activities planned. We had to cancel those. And I just knew it was disheartening for everyone. So it was kind of challenging to stand up and say that to them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thinking of that, is there any one student that comes to mind where you saw the greatest work done, or, you know, that's really just been impacted you? Maybe you were surprised.
You know, it's really interesting. Some of the students that we thought would be fine with online learning struggled. And then some of the students that struggle in the classroom really just, they were shining during the process of the online learning. And it was, our online learning is very interactive. And there was a student who hardly ever spoke, and I'm speaking as a elementary teacher, hardly spoke in the class, kind of withdrawn, not really engaging in anything. And then what we did, I allowed my kids to have my students to have their pets with them on Zoom. Mm. And so this student had their dog with them, and the dog was so cute. The classmates were asking about it. And I just saw this student come alive, and he began responding to the students, engaging in conversations, involved in the discussion and the virtual activities we had going on. And I just really saw another side of the student, and I was so excited for that. And then when he came back to class, he brought that with him. And since the time of lockdown, and he has just blossomed, and he brought that into the regular classroom with him. So, yeah, there was a great concern for that student before, but I don't know how that situation of us being able to see into his home and him holding his dogs and the kids engaging him just kind of lifted this weight off of him. And it was really good.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's what I think I mentioned a while ago. Just surprising ways. Everything was not bad during COVID. Right. It brought out some really good things and challenges that helped us grow as people and as a community in unity. So that's really cool. Tell me all the roles like you did maybe over the last 3 years. Elementary teacher.
Yeah, I taught 2 different grade levels in elementary, the school director, high school principal for a while, and picked up 1 or 2 secondary classes. So it was a little taxing, long hours and no holidays and weekends. But that's behind me now. And I'm really excited. And, another thing that I've seen other people step out of their comfort zone and be willing to do other things or go the extra mile or not feel like they have to leave right at 4 o'clock. You know, maybe they come a little earlier, they stay a little late, they ask other people if they need help. So I think it's made our community stronger and more a mind of service and not just transactional in the relationship.
That's good.
Yeah. I think it's really good.
You're one that gets in there and does it, doesn't quit, but you don't complain about it either. And so, yeah. I mean, that's contagious when people you're leading are watching you. And
And you know what? Also, I noticed that people demonstrated more care for one another. Like if someone had COVID or their neighborhood was locked down, or their neighborhood was under restricted movement, that people would send care baskets, would send food, would make special food at school or supply special fruit to help everyone keep their immunity up. And I just saw this community of caring for fellow staff members, for parents, for students. And that was quite nice. Mm.
That's so good. Well, thank you for all that you have done during that time. I want you to, as we wrap up, I want you to talk about the calling. So going back even further.
Yes. I, from a young age, I felt a calling that I wanted to go overseas and serve. I wanted to help people. And, through several tragic events in my life that didn't happen, death of parents early, and then a marriage that ended in divorce. And so the door of going overseas or following my dream or my calling seemed to be shut. So it was later in life that I did this after my children were grown. So I really want anyone out there who has felt a calling in their life, but feel like it's too late, I want to say it's never too late. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, if there's breath in your body and you're willing to give what you have to the Lord, He is more than able to bring that dream, that calling, that vision that you've had to pass. And so I really want to encourage you to follow that dream and don't give up on it. And God needs our availability. That's what's most important to Him, and our obedience. And He doesn't see us the same way as we see ourselves. He sees us with His eyes and through the blood of Jesus. And He just wants us to make an offering of ourselves to Him, and He will bring it to pass. And there's nothing that's impossible for Him. So, yeah, I never thought, there were times when I thought I wouldn't go. Now I've been over there for several years, more than 10. I'm working towards 20 soon. And and whatever He did for me, He'll do for you. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage people not to give up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for just the encouragement that you have brought to me, to everyone that we, you know, are around us, and just so thankful for what you've done for the students. And yeah, thanks for sharing for a few moments And I'm going to continue to pray for, yeah, great hope for you every moment and everything that you've endured there and the people that have been right alongside you. I know that there's going to be great fruit from that. And so it's so amazing, so cool that we get to be in this kingdom work together.
Thank you. I love both of us reaching the world.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.